Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, November 23rd, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everyone. It is a gray 32 degrees and cloudy here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show 2013 Propaganda Act, AI Dreaming, Deep Learning, and Supercomputing. We started out the show looking at how back in 2013 with the NDAA's reauthorization, right at the very end of the year, during the holidays, with nothing more than a whimper because nobody noticed, they had passed, they had incorporated and then passed as a part of this NDAA, the ability to utilize what had previously been foreign propaganda used for bringing democracy, quote unquote, to other countries on the American people. They made propaganda legal in this country to be able to spin the narrative that they are trying to sell to the public. And one of those things that they have been trying to sell to us is the truth, or at least their crafted truth. This election was kind of the pinnacle of that. They are now blaming quote-unquote fake news, i.e. an alternate view of the story, looking at facts and doing investigative journalism, as an enemy to the state. They are now, of course, blaming the election of Donald Trump, the loss of Hillary Clinton, on unfounded rumors and fake news. They keep just saying it everywhere. That mantra has been pounded out so many times that people are parroting it now everywhere. They don't need to read into what the real facts are. Don't worry about it, because not only the federal government, not only Obama, but Google and Facebook and everybody else is going to jump on board and take care of this fake news problem. We have renegade Facebook employees. We have students building plugins for your browser to be able to scan facts on a web page against a database. We have the Google Truth algorithm and the Google verified stories. Remember, we talked about that. That verification came out after the second presidential debate. And it has gotten to the point now where this whole crisis, I guess we could call it, the crisis of truth, whichever side you be on, they are now looking at throwing artificial intelligence, because obviously there's nobody who could read every single story and determine whether or not the facts jive with the agreed upon narrative. But artificial intelligence will be able to do that for you. We have all the big boys now, New York Times included, that are getting on the censorship bandwagon, all in the name of fakery and removing alternative narratives from the news stream. You know, we even found out that Google and Facebook are now going to limit advertising for anything that has been determined as not savory or not advertiser friendly. We saw a story yesterday that said, advertisers don't want their material next to quote unquote questionable facts. And I mean, I could see, like I said the other day, it's not like stories that are untrue haven't hit the news waves before. In the past, we had Bat Boy in the days before the internet. And like I said, nobody believed that there was actually a Bat Boy. And if you did, then you were probably watching Maury Povich. That show was pretty insane. But you know, come on, people, put on your thinking caps. If you see something that seems to be too good to be true or is way over the top, you absolutely should be verifying that information and going to the source. But people are too lazy. We have been groomed by a Bernaysian society for instant gratification. So we see something, we're fed that. That's how they conditioned us. The TV and all of our little devices have conditioned us to accept what is being fed to us, because convenience is key. Well, listen to this. New York Times is now also advocating censorship of quote-unquote fake news. The New York Times wants a system of censorship for the internet to block what it calls fake news, but the Times, I had to laugh about this, ignores its own record of publishing fake news. This is a story out of Mint Press. Mint Press is friends with anti-media, and they've had, I think her name is Dinar, the girl who runs the site. She's a reporter, and she's been on as a guest a few times on anti-media and UCY. This story in particular is by Robert Perry, out yesterday. It's pretty interesting if you listen to this. It shows how ludicrous this whole quote-unquote fake news is, as we are being spoon-fed now legalized propaganda out of the mainstream media. And people like my mother sit there and parrot it back to people like me and you, who've actually done our homework and see the landscape from a higher perspective rather than the couch being put into that theta state where you are suggestible. One of these days, I promise, we're going to dig deep into the brain. I got a couple people I might bring on as guests that could give us some insight from other perspectives and brain influences. But anyway, in its lead editorial on Sunday, so this must have been last week, the New York Times decried what it deemed, and listen to this, this is what we're being called now by the New York Times, the digital virus called fake news. And remember yesterday, we really spent some time establishing how for many different facets, we have become enemy. Everything about us has become enemy. And if you are not stepping in time with this new guard that is coming to play, if you are not stepping in rhythm with what they are trying to feed you, you will be considered enemy. You will be considered insurgent. You will be considered, digital virus. This is just insane. So this digital virus called fake news in the New York Times called for internet censorship to counter this alleged problem, taking particular aim at Facebook founders Mike Zuckerberg. Remember, we looked at that. They really were kind of nailing Zuckerberg up. But like I said, I don't know if this is a ploy. Zuckerberg just decided he was going to step up and be a sacrificial lamb to make a bigger point and be able to control and open up his back door to allow him to become a full part of the machine. Not really sure about that, but I almost think that Zuckerberg was thinking he was doing something right and they bitch slapped him. But anyway, as this mainstream campaign against fake news quickly has gained momentum in the past week, and I mean, I don't know if you've listened to anti-media as well, but it seems that we all are seeing how ridiculous this mantra is right now. They are pushing this ad nauseum. This is now going to become the new anti-vaxxer. We're going to be the new mommy who didn't want to inject our children with poisons and untested transgenic GMO vaccines they're putting into our babies. This is the new Zika virus. This is the new ISIS. It's going to be us, the fake news people. Anyone who is thinking for themselves. And as mainstream media campaign against fake news quickly has gained momentum in this past week, two false items get cited repeatedly, and that is a claim that Pope Francis endorsed Donald Trump and an assertion that Trump was prevailing in the popular vote over Hillary Clinton. I could add another election-related false book, a hoax spread by Trump supporters that liberal documentarian Michael Moore was endorsing Trump when he actually was backing Clinton. But this author also knows that Clinton supporters were privately pushing some salacious and unsubstantiated charges about Trump's sex life. And Clinton personally, and I remember this, charged that Trump was under control of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Although there was no evidence to support the McCarthyistic accusation. The problem is that while some falsehoods may be obvious and clear-cut, much information exists in a gray area, in which two or more sides may disagree on what the facts are. And this was out of the New York Times on Sunday. And the U.S. government doesn't always tell you the truth, although you would be hard-pressed to find recent examples of the Times recognizing that reality. And, right, I mean, I'm sure the government has a great history of lying that has been exposed through FOIA. And by the way, it's getting much more difficult to get FOIA requests. Can't imagine what it's going to be under Trump. The simple reality is that a lot of dubious accusations get flung around during the heat of a campaign. Nothing new there. And it is always a challenge for professional journalists to swat them down the best we can. But what is different now is that the Times envisions some structure or algorithm for eliminating what it calls fake news. And this is exactly what we've been outlining the last 2 days, is looking at it from the technology perspective, utilizing deep learning, utilizing some of these new technologies that they were coming up with. We saw that Google is now utilizing dreaming, the mind patterns of dreaming animals, to accelerate learning by positive reinforcement in those dreams. They are also utilizing brain scans of children, learning motor development, to teach artificial intelligence. And they're going to turn these deep learning technologies and all this new AI hardware that we saw the big boys are releasing, IBM, Google, Intel, and the supercomputing clusters utilizing NVIDIA, the former biggie NVIDIA cards now turned utilizing visual processing units and being able to see things as a new sense out of the five senses that they have added to artificial intelligence to increase its learning capability exponentially. We've talked about that law of exponential returns. The CEO of NVIDIA, that story we read yesterday, it said this is happening way faster than we ever imagined. How many times have we heard that now? You know, we talked about how that was going to become more and more the norm, just like the never-before-seens when we were looking at all kinds of quote-unquote mutations in the biological world. Never before seen. Every other thing was never before seen. Well, how amazing is that? Can't be a coincidence, people. They are doing things in the background. They've been doing things in the background for a very long time, and they are all now coming to roost. Disruptive technologies coming at us at 1,000 miles a second and about ready to all crack open like a pit of alien monsters out of the movie. Remember, they had that big pit of eggs all cracking open at the very same time. And those tentacles are going to get into every bit of our lives. So check this out. Anyway, they're asking, so who is the judge of truth? And we were looking at that over the last few days. It is looking like it's going to be the big boys, going to be comparing against a database. But oh, don't worry about it, because we have now developed artificial intelligence that started learning by itself. Yeah, doing all kinds of things, like using those dreams and using those brain scans and showing them all kinds of things and turning them loose on YouTube, letting them go on oncology records like Watson. Watson can read a million books a second, something insane like that we heard in the interview. Well, we have this war between all the big boys and all the big countries now. They all have smart tech talent, and all these different groups are pouring billions of dollars into development of these technologies, and he who gets the smartest AI wins. And then we have all these autonomous weapons that are being developed in conjunction with this. Remember, a lot of this funding, we spent weeks and weeks and weeks looking at our love to hate DARPA. A lot of this all originates with DARPA. DARPA is the moonshots. DARPA is the sprinkle funding. The nobody will invest venture capitalist that will shoot at any crazy idea to see if it sticks. DARPA, they are the ones who have helped bring these disruptive technologies along to the point where we are today. Their hope is to be able to use this to dominate and control, to be able to conquer and become gods, to rule over everything. And we've established the breadth and depth of DARPA's sprinkle funding and the projects that they are working on. I mean, they are beyond science fiction, and they are very real, with results happening in labs right now. This is all going to be rolling out at once. So anyway, who's to judge what is truth? So, you know, here's the thing. Now we have this quote-unquote fake news. People like me out here squawking about science fiction craziness. And if you just met me at a party, like a lot of my friends did many years ago, and they listened to me blah, 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 talking about this stuff, they'd always say, oh, that Jewel, she's pretty crazy at parties. But years later, as this stuff has started to eke out slowly, because remember, it's all a psyop. They have to bring us along. They can't just be in our faces. We don't like change, especially us older folk who eventually, as part of the medical establishment, are going to cost the world more than we're worth. So let's move along, precision medicine. That'll help bring down healthcare costs and make people like you and me, moving on up in years, a great experiment in more 21st century technologies. Make us live forever. Remember, that is the goal. The goal is for them to be gods. Their goal is to be omniscient, omnipotent, and be able to live for as long or as short as they want. Be able to push a button and reorganize life, to be able to utilize biology, to create on the fly, to make biofactories out of cells. And we really have gotten to a point. So now add to this super duper exascale supercomputing. We've read about that yesterday, and apply that to AI, apply that to truth, apply that to self-learning machines. And you are going to see that we have a real problem, but we've sold it. Obama sold it. My successor will govern a country being transformed by artificial intelligence. Like I said, we outlined the big boys yesterday. Everyone is investing. It is an investment orgy. And now we have employers jumping on board as well. We have Ross, the lawyer. We have the new recruiting tool, and we have the smart factories we read yesterday by General Electric. We have all these restaurants coming out with these people-less servers, you know, whether it be even like a pizza machine or a kiosk. Someone said something about donuts the other day. I mean, it's not going to be too long before not only the menial, oh yeah, and the self-driving trucks. I mean, it's everywhere. It is everywhere. Artificial intelligence is about ready to take over our world. Like I said, that Ginny CEO, Ginny, whatever her name is, Gennady of IBM, says Watson's going to be involved in every facet of our lives within the next 5 years. And that is just one of many, many, many projects by many big boys in the tech industry that are being released. Remember, a lot of these guys are doing it open source as well. So any little Johnny out there, you have Johnny, the CRISPR hacker in mommy's back bedroom, and then you have Johnny, the software hacker, writing little artificial intelligence applications to be able to integrate onto the internet. You're never going to know what's real or what's not. Guys, they're going to have to tell you what's real. See, they need to now be able to craft the full and complex narrative, and they will be able to do it with not only artificial intelligence, but remember, we have virtual reality coming in 3D, HD, terabit per second with 5G and millimeter wave at some point in the not too distant future. That is all going to become a part of the internet of everything. We won't ever be able to tell what's real and what's not. They got voice synthesizers, and we're going to look at something like that actually in here. I found a really, really insane story about this new app that lets you put words in people's mouths. We have already seen that they can take a face and skin it just from angles of famous people that are available freely on the internet. And they could shine a camera on you. You could be talking in this camera and it'll take the skin of someone else's face, put it over the top of you. And if they could then replicate that person's voice, how would you know if it was real? And I mean, they can use AI to write news stories. They're working on that for a few different feeds now. I saw that Newsweek, speaking of publications, is now hosting an artificial intelligence and data science event at the one big university in London. It's called the Barbican in the City of London, but it is in association with Imperial College London, which is where Oxitec came out of, which is where, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Hawking is there. And this is where a lot of the big thinkers in these technologies are coming from. But they're going to bring together data scientists from where? Oh, financial institutions, hedge funds, and financial tech startup companies to discuss the frontiers of AI and machine learning in the financial markets. Now, we got play money already, but now we're going to turn AI on to making money and gaming the system. You know, I saw the other day that in India, Brandon Turbeville a while back had written, quite a number of years ago actually, had covered the march forward in countries such as India for like a billion people. We're moving toward universal ID cards that include digital currencies as part of your identification system. I mean, we've talked a lot about biometrics and that Regina Duggan with her magic pill, swallowing tokens, being able to wave your hand and not have to worry about those pesky passwords. Because remember, again, it's all about convenience. Passwords are too hard to remember. Puny human brains, but we could take care of that for you. But with the Universal ID program, that was a software product by IBM. Yeah, who would have believed it? IBM, and they rolled it out to a billion people. Well, I saw just recently now that the Indian National, whatever they call it, like our Federal Reserve type thing, the monetary agency started pulling all the large bills off the market that were in circulation. And I thought, I don't have anything up here. It's just kind of a second tangent, but somebody wants to do some research and drop me a note on the show. There was something about India now where they were starting to draw back on currency. I thought it was more than just big bills now, currency that was in circulation. But that's a bad sign, because a place such as India, where we have had Bill Gates with his programmer villages going on for 25, if I had to guess it, years. India has been one of those incubator spots where there were a lot of educated, underemployed people. And I do know that for 100% fact. We had a friend in college. She was a roommate of one of my best friends. Oh, what was her name? I don't remember her name. That's horrible. It was a long time ago. But she was from India. She was from New Delhi. She lived near what they called the Himalayas. Not the Himalayas. They were the Himalayas. She was an amazing cook and used lots of cumin and turmeric and tons of vegetables all the time. But she had told us about how it was there. There was a caste system. Once you were in one, realm, that's where we were, there were lots and lots and lots of poor people. Her father was a diplomat, so they were pretty well off, but they sent her to the United States for an education. And the problem with being sent to the United States for an education is that you're going to get a good education like all the other well-to-do kids in India. But when you went home, there really were no jobs. So you had all these highly educated housewives and people not doing much of anything there. So we had the tech big boys like Microsoft, and now we have a lot of the biotechnology companies over there as well. And Bill Gates also, he's funding a lot of that mad science kill things such as malaria or Zika or edible vaccines. Remember, we looked at that as well. All that research is going on in India right now, even though they supposedly stopped the edible vaccines here in the United States from being researched because how dangerous they could be if they got mixed up in our food supply. Going to tell you, India is one of those places that make a great incubator because they have such a large population, 1 billion people, guys. That's way more than the United States, if I'm not mistaken. We only have like 7 million. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. Somebody in chat. Population of the United States. I thought it was only like 7 million. No, 318.9 million as of 2014, but still that's a lot less than 1 billion. So if they roll it out to this society that tends to be more agreeable, Indians over in India tend to be more agreeable than we do. They have 1.2 5 to billion people in India. They actually have almost as many as China. China has 1.357 billion people. It's insane. And we have a puny 318.9 million. So if they start rolling out these new 21st century agendas in places such as India, and they could accomplish that, it would be nothing to roll it out to a paltry 318.9 million people in the United States. Somebody and I were talking over the last few days. They were postulating, and I think it might have been Michael, about how maybe Trump really is just a plant. Maybe he was installed to manage the bankruptcy that is about to come. Maybe it was part of the plan all along, and this was set up as controlled opposition because they already knew by the polls, by running algorithms on the polls, that there was a lot of discontent in this country. They are going to be able to quell the masses by giving us convenience, by curing what ails us. They needed a new boogeyman. They used the election to create the boogeyman of fake news, and all in the name of fake news, to start rolling out some of this predictive AI, some of the self-learning tools. We have a crisis in healthcare. Well, hey, don't worry about that, because Benevolent AI, that is the name of a company, looks to artificial intelligence for speedy development of drugs that are already licensed. A key ambition of Benevolent AI is to utilize artificial intelligence in revolutionizing the drug development process. And now with a licensing agreement with a company named Janssen, it is one significant step closer than to realizing that dream. And with the assistance of Johnson & Johnson's Innovation Center in London, the British AI company has acquired an undisclosed number of novel clinical stage drug candidates. This is all that sprinkle funding that they want to spin out into IPOs. Remember, we've talked about that. Clinical stage drug candidates mean step right up, guinea pigs, and be the free R&D. This is just so diabolical. It's sickening. Remember when we looked at what the stocks were doing after the election, biopharma was going up, 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 up. Well, this is why. Anyway, so with an undisclosed number of novel clinical stage drug candidates together with their related patents, the company is using its AI platform to evaluate the potential of these small molecule compounds and found that some could be promising candidates for hard-to-treat diseases. So this is going to be another Watson, guys. This is a Watson that's going to look at drugs and be able to determine. It doesn't say if it's looking at DNA sequences or how they're comparing these things, but I'm sure it's against a disease and a treatment database of some kind. Compounds come with a wealth of clinical and biological data that enables Benevolent AI to have further insights into the biology of diseases. Securing these novel clinical drug candidates perfectly aligns with our strategy of developing first-in-class stratified medicines to help patients with high unmet needs. Yes, and to make a bazillion dollars is what he isn't saying. Benevolent AI was relaunched in 2013 from what was known as Stratified Medical, and it was founded by tech-savvy management teams of Proximagen, a drug R&D subsidiary of Upsher Smith Laboratories. To them, it is quite tempting what AI potentially can do to accelerate biomedical discoveries. Ding, 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 ding. By uniting technology and bioscience. Remember, it's going to be in every bit of our lives, and you don't even understand how invasive we will be infiltrated. Remember, too, we talked, I believe it was last week, there was a story about the smart pills utilizing biology to make something we could swallow that would then react, because it would be programmed cells. It would react to different circumstances within our body and produce quote-unquote cures on the fly by using some sort of synthetic biology engineered into the cell. I mean, that is not in the not-too-distant future. Well, guys, here, let's continue on. So artificial intelligence marches forward in Canada. You are not out of the woods. There is something that has been percolating in Montreal. Google noticed Montreal a long time ago, and I thought there were some pretty smart cookies and brain research up there at one point that were ushered over to Google to help with their deep learning project. Well, listen to this. Google invests in Montreal Artificial Intelligence Research Lab. Artificial intelligence, once relegated to the realm of science fiction, is now found in everything from translation services to virtual assistants to video games. And, you know, we've looked at the extensions of the future for all of these things. And as companies race to develop self-driving vehicles and offer increasingly personalized online experiences, which, you know, those are just the commercialized things, but we've looked into all the other stuff, the war games, the weapons, the medicine, the employees. It's just off the hook crazy. They're building on research that was largely pioneered by a group of Canadian researchers who are still attracting plenty of attention and investment dollars. Montreal in particular has developed a concentration of expertise in the area of AI. So who would have thunk it? There's a lizard pit up there. Largely thanks to the efforts of a University of Montreal professor, Yoshua Bengio, head of the Montreal Institute for Learning Algorithms. AI will affect pretty much every economic sector, and right now it is just the tip of the iceberg, says Bengio. Well, it's funny, Bengio, because I said that very exact same thing way, way, way back. This is just the beginning. It is going to be disruptive technologies, and it's coming at us from every single direction. Guys, be prepared. This is what we've been waiting for. It's frightening. It should be very frightening, because I don't see, as they are going to release this demon from every perspective into our world, there will be no putting that genie back. There will be no taking down the machine. Even if we had an EMP, they are planning on integrating their knowledge of technology into biology. We are not, in that case, with CRISPRing and genetic modification, we're not even talking about bits and bytes anymore. We're not talking about machines anymore. We are talking about biological organisms that have been engineered like they were machines. So there's no EMP that's going to take that out. The only thing that might take that out is a big crack in the magnetosphere. And a massive coronal mass ejection aimed exactly at that crack spot. By the way, I don't know if anybody saw that, but they did announce a couple weeks back, again, without many people noticing, that, oh, look, they discovered a huge crack in our magnetosphere. But we'll talk about that another day. Anyway, so now tech giant Google is jumping in, and they've invested $4.5 million over the next 3 years to support Bengio Institute's research, as well as opening an AI research group at its Montreal office. So Google is all in Montreal now. They are going to get another part of that puzzle. Well, check this out. So what are some of the other things that have been done with AI? And remember, they are teaching AI to learn all by itself. Well, these should be pretty frightening to you. So talking about fake news and being able to build algorithms and all these people working on how to root out what is considered true and what is not. And like I said, right now, it's being compared against a knowledge base. But in the future, they will have AI that can teach itself what is true and what isn't, what's fact and what is not. Story out of MIT Technology Review, back at the beginning of November, deep neural networks learn to judge books by their covers. Now, this was right before the election. And after the election, they are now decrying the crisis in truth. Fake news versus real news. Fact check, fact check. Provide an agreed upon database of facts to compare it against. If anyone has any sense in their minds, they know that the correct way to do research is to open the cover of the damn book. Not judge the book by its cover. And I hate to tell you people, but that is exactly what they are grooming the American public to do. Judge books by its cover. Don't look under the surface because it's dangerous, Johnny. You might learn something that disrupts your beliefs and that would make you feel sad and want a puppy. Don't look under the cover, Johnny. We'll tell you what's in the book. We have things like Cliff Notes. We'll determine what is true and what you need to know and what you don't. So deep neural networks are now learning to judge books by their covers. A machine vision algorithm. Remember, it's all about now giving AI different senses, and now we gave them vision. Can tell a book genre by looking at its cover. And this paves the way for AI systems to control and design covers themselves. The idiom, never judge a book by its cover, like I said, warns against evaluating something by just the way it looks. And how many times have we learned that? You know, I can look 30 different ways depending on how I feel. And if you saw me the way I looked right now, you might think one thing, especially if you knew nothing about me, versus if I actually got myself all put together like I was going to work, you would think something completely different. So big mistake there, because that does not change who I am inside in any way, shape, or form. But the idiom, never judge a book by its cover, warns against evaluating something purely by the way it looks. And yet book covers are designed, and this is using some of that psychological mojo that we have talked about, are designed to give readers an idea of content and make them want to pick up a book and read it. That's called good salesmanship. Good marketing skills and good book covers are designed to be judged. Remember that, because judgment is going to be very important here in the not too distant future. Humans are quite good at it, and it is relatively straightforward to pick out a cookery book or a biographical novel, or a travel guide just by looking at its cover. And that raises some interesting questions. Can machines judge books by their covers too? Well, we've already learned that machines can judge people by their faces. And we're going to look at that. We looked at a few different examples. There was an Israeli company that is able to do it by statistical genetic facial features and tell whether or not someone could potentially pre-crime, be a terrorist, a criminal, or just a genius. But now we can not only use AI to judge people by their faces, but we can use them to judge books by their covers. Today we get an answer thanks to the work by Brian Kenji Iwawa and Siki Uki at the Kishinu University in Japan. These guys have trained a deep neural network to study book covers and determine the category of book that they come from. They downloaded 137,788 unique book covers from Amazon, along with the genre. There are 20 possible genres, but where a book was listed was more than one category. They just used the first category in that case. And next, the pair used 80% of the data to train a neural network to recognize the genre by looking at the cover. Their neural network has four layers with 512 neurons each, which together learn to recognize the correlation between cover design and genre. And what's interesting, so they got four layers. We read about how deep learning works and how the brain works. That's all a part of this brain initiative, mind you, to be developing a synthetic brain, all in the name of being smarter eventually than all humans. But in deep neural networks, they use layering. Microsoft had a pretty deep one. I don't remember how many layers, but this one in particular has four for different cognitive processing. But long and the short of it is, how did it do? Well, let's scroll down. The algorithm had a little bit of trouble. It found the cookbooks were easy to recognize if they used pictures of food. But they were a little bit troubled if they used a design such as a chef. Biographies and memoirs were also a little bit problematic with the algorithm, often selecting history as a category. And interestingly, for many of these books, history is a secondary genre on Amazon. So the algorithm wasn't entirely bamboozled. It also confused children's books with comics and graphic novels, which I guess that could even be considered a subset, as well as medical books and science books. But I don't know, that again could be a subset. However, that's also understandable given the similarities between the categories. There is one shortcoming in this work. They did not compare the performance of their neural networks algorithms against humans' ability to recognize the genres and their covers. And guys, like we've already seen, these are baby steps. And this technology is improving at an exponential rate. So this was November 7th, 2016. I say give it 1 year of being able to judge books by its covers. And I mean, these weren't gross miss errors that they came across. These were granularity that they were having trouble with. Teach it a little bit more. Teach it what a chef looks like. Teach it how to recognize certain words or phrases or, you know, suggestions to granularize. And that shouldn't be much of a problem. So a question comes up. How is the public going to react? I mean, there are those of us who see how this is going, but there are those of us out there that have been manipulated psychologically as well as physically. And I know we don't believe physically, but I think we've proven that that dopamine button that they push with our convenience products, with our televisions, with our little devices, with that ding saying you have a new message, with the video games, with the need for instant gratification, every time that learned behavior is satiated, we feel good. They are manipulating the same pathway that is directly, not just related, it is the direct pathway that is utilized in addiction. And we are talking addictions to bad things, to cocaine, to gambling to sex to high fructose corn syrup to video games. It is the same pathway that we have also established is overactive in people who have been diagnosed with psychopathy. That should be very, very concerning to us that they are manipulating that pathway physically without us even realizing it, and not just in you and me, but also in our children. They are turning our children into junkies. I'm going to tell you, over the last couple of weeks, we read three stories back a few months ago. One was about a very young child. One was about a prepubescent, maybe early teens kid who ended up in emergency psychological lockdown, not once but twice. And then an adult who realized his addiction and was trying to break it. That there are some devastating impacts of technology. I've also talked about how just in my last decade of seeing a child grow up and being exposed to different things, there was an absolute 100% change in personality every time any of those technologies were put in front of her. Well, there is now proof out there, not only that it's true, but I have more personal friends now, and I'm talking three people in the last 2 weeks, that have told me in conversation that their teenage kids won't even leave the bedroom because they're on their video games on the computer, and any attempt to make them do so is violent in the response, so they don't even bother anymore. Guys, these are kids who have gone now over the edge. These are children that have been lost to that addiction chemical that is being manipulated in our children. This is what they want. This is what the mainstream media is doing to people who are getting sucked into the mantra being sold now, the NDAA 2013 Smith-Mundt Act inclusion into the law to be able to play propaganda at the American people. It is a brainwashing effort, and it is going quite ducky. So as this is all rolling out, there are some of us out there that still haven't been convinced. And for us, they're going to have to take more drastic measures. We are now considered enemy, like we have established every step of the way. It's been getting closer and closer. And now we are on the other side. So they have a new ethics center out there. And this new AI ethics center is showing a growing angst about machine smarts. Uh-oh. Remember, they're doing psychological evaluation to figure out how to overcome our objections. The pace of progress in artificial intelligence has unsettled many experts. But the big risk of all may be inscrutability. Let's face it. The pace of progress in artificial intelligence can sometimes seem unsettling. And you know what? If you were listening to the mainstream media, and I've pointed it out every time we've read it, don't worry about it, Jenny. No, it'll be 20, 30, 40 years. Don't worry about it. Every time we're reading industry publications about what's really going on in the industry or in the labs, they're saying, holy shit, this is happening faster than we ever possibly imagined, and it is moving at an exponential pace. This is not Chicken Little to be worried about this stuff. Back to the story. Here we go. Terminator-style machines remain science fiction, or so they say, at least not outside of behind closed doors or isolated incidences. And I don't know how they actually say that, because we have unmanned aerial vehicles that are dropping munitions right now. How long is it going to be before they are making some sort of decisions on their own? They're working on that everywhere. We looked at SquadX and all that from DARPA, so I'm going to say bullshit on that. November 3rd, 2016, MIT Technology Review, but hey, whatever. But AI could have a huge impact on employment, and we've established that. Introduce bias into algorithms, like trying to identify a book by its cover. and contribute to the development of autonomous weapons. Yes, and it absolutely will. But perhaps the biggest looming threat may be making sure that we understand how these increasingly complex systems work when they go awry. The latest evidence that even the experts are concerned about this is the creation of a new AI ethics research center. Now, guys, this really makes me want to cry, because guess where it is? Carnegie Mellon University. Now, Carnegie Mellon University were the ones who won the DARPA Grand Cyber Challenge for making the shape-shifting immune system for the Internet of Things. Carnegie Mellon University is also the same place that Obama gave his lecture about how his successor will govern a country being transformed by AI. Carnegie Mellon University is in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is where Penn U is. Penn U's president had been appointed the head of some sort of AI ethics to Obama's cabinet at one point. Penn University is also the university that was waiting to get approval, the final approval, to CRISPR human T cells to cure cancer. Guys, it is so beyond dirty. So any AI ethics research center at Carnegie Mellon University, I am sure, is not going to be looking out for our best interest. They are going to be figuring out how to craft the approved narrative. But oh, to only add insult to injury, to rub some good genetically modified Himalayan salt into the wounds, this new center called K&L Gates Endowment for Ethics and Computational Technologies is funded with $10 million from K&L Gates, and I don't know, it doesn't look like it is a Bill Gates creation, which I guess is better than what I thought. K&L Gates, who is an international law firm based out of Pittsburgh, and you know what, that's a research project, anyone wants to do it, K and ampersand L Gates. Anxiety over machine intelligence has been gaining momentum. Last month, the White House released a report assessing the potential effects of AI. We read about that. And several of the world's largest tech companies recently joined forces to create an organization called Partnership on AI to study the technology and its potential impacts. And yeah, and to look at the profit potential to be able to write your budgets for 2017 is what that should say. Because we had all of the tech big boys involved in that new center. In a statement, they said it would be important to consider the human side of AI systems, and it's not just technology that will determine how this century unfolds. Our future will be influenced strongly by how humans interact with technology, how we foresee and respond to the unintended consequences for our work. Remember, robots going to take all the jobs. And how we ensure that technology is used to benefit humanity, not become killer robots and enslave us all, for the individual as well as the society. Besides unemployment, algorithmic bias and autonomous weapons are one of the most significant and least appreciated consequences of AI. And it could become the way that we rely on systems that are inscrutable because no one programmed them. And I thought we saw a story a week or two ago about in the future, crime is going to be committed by AI, statistically speaking, more often than by humans. once they start learning themselves. Some experts are trying to devise machine learning systems that are able to explain their interworkings and how they came to conclusions, which they are hoping might help get over this issue. So anyway, where are we going to leave this? Well, so they're worried about angst from humans against artificial intelligence taking over everything. Remember, I told you one of my last bastions of freedom was to be able to get in my car and drive, turn up the music, open the roof, and put the pedal to the metal. That is real freedom to me on a nice sunny day. Well, there is a story that came out of the Christian Science Monitor, November 1st, 2016. Human drivers will probably bully self-driving cars. In the dawning age of artificial intelligence, like the kind found in self-driving cars, we may begin to bully software, says new study. Bullying has become a recent hot topic of conversation, particularly in school. But of course, this has been an issue for decades. Sadly, a new study suggests that we may not limit our bullying to other humans. In the dawning age of artificial intelligence, like the kind found in the self-driving car, we may begin to bully software. So how are they going to take care of that, Johnny? Well, I don't know. Zippity zap. They need to find a way to change our views. So they should design autonomous cars to either drive like jerks, or should we modify our own driving behavior to be more patient? All right, guys, make sure you stick around because it is Wednesday. All kinds of great new radio tonight. Ms. Lonnie Clark is live up next. And then we have Josh live at 6. We have the boys from New York live at 8. And it's Wednesday. And Anti-Media Radio at 11. All right, guys, have an awesome Wednesday. And I'll catch up with you.